royalty is dining. Yes, this is indeed a regal dinner party. Tapers burn low, voices are subdued and respectful in the presence of the king. His Majesty's gentlemen await his every pleasure. But then a servant enters, and murmurs cease, hands poise in midair, eyes surreptitiously follow the servant to Frederick the Great's side. A message is whispered in his ear. Abruptly, the king rises from his table and ends the supper.
Gentlemen, he has arrived. Come, let us retire to the music room. The Master of Masters is here.
From Greenville, South Carolina, Bob Jones University presents Miracles. A man's life is but an empty, broken shell without an inward source of power. God's power alone can take a life and bind it into a dynamic, moving force. Truly, great men are God's men.
Such a man in the court of Frederick the Great?
Of course. Every realm of endeavor has had its pioneer, its pathfinder, or its trailblazer. Why not this?
Even in the realm of music?
Surely. It takes as much courage to face slander, ridicule, and the boos of an unfriendly public as it does to face the dangers of the jungle trail or the terrors of the untraveled sea.
So he was a pioneer, this man who came to Potsdam, to the court of Frederick the Great.
Yes, one of the greatest who ever lived. He has been called the Master of Masters.
I see your point. Kings don't ordinarily allow themselves to be disturbed at their meals.
That's right.
Private citizens usually await the king's pleasure.
It isn't very often. A king at supper rises to say,
"Gentlemen, he has arrived."
And then rushes off to the music room, not even allowing the great musician to put on court dress or to rest from his journey. He had to hear him. King Frederick had to hear the master. And what a strange musical performance that was. The master of music seated himself at the clavichord and improvised upon a little melody given him by the king. The great master touched the keys, and the simple melody flowed from his fingertips fluidly. However, the musician seemed dissatisfied with this particular instrument, and at the king's bidding, followed the royal procession to the library, where he seated himself again at the keyboard. His fingers moved automatically on the shining ebony and white keys. But still, there was something wrong. Something still displeased the artist. And he arose to follow the king to the master parlor, where stood an instrument which was prized above all others in the mansion. Seating himself slowly, the master bent over the keys. Again, the simple melody offered by the king was transformed into a powerful, surging composition. But the artist could not be satisfied, even with the beautifully carved instrument which graced the master parlor. The king, in desperation, offered the virtuoso the use of his own prized instrument, the one which stood in his private lounge and was never used except on rare occasions when the king felt especially inspired to play himself. Beautiful tones floated from the strings of the king's own instrument as the Master of Masters touched the golden keys. When he finished, he rose and briefly addressed the king.
Sire, I prefer the organ.
Sire, I prefer the organ. And those words came from the lips of the most profound and original musical thinker the world has ever known.
I've heard our musical master referred to as the father of modern music. Is this title well-deserved?
Indeed. But not only that, he was also master on the organ. His organ compositions are said to be the most perfect things of their kind ever produced, unsurpassed and unsurpassable. There's an interesting story about our musical pioneer. Taken for whatever it may be worth, the story relates that Marchand, the French master, was visiting Germany. The German musicians were indignant at Marchand's superior and overbearing attitude.
Marchand, the French master. Bah!
He is no master.
Our city of Dresden has one who is Marchand's equal and master.
I have it.
You have what?
Let us stage a duel. A musical duel.
That would be a wonderful idea.
A musical duel between our youth and France's master.
Marchand should duel with this child. Who is he that is so foolish as to play in competition with Marchand, the master?
You will see.
We shall see indeed. It will be a small matter to defeat your youth.
It shall be even as David and Goliath.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Well, the musical duel was arranged. Great pains were taken to assure both contestants a fair opportunity in this mighty battle. Marchand was confident.
They expect some little pipsqueak, some little known character who calls himself a musician, to be able to surpass Marchand.
Yes, Marchand was confident, but the so-called little pipsqueak practiced as he never had before. This was the challenge of his lifetime, and for countless hours, the young fingers were exercised over the keyboard.
Oh, I can't go on. My fingers ache.
A mighty master, and the young genius never gave up. Day after day, he kept the vigil at the harpsichord, until the masterful Marchand perchanced to pass through the corridor where the youth was practicing, and heard the powerful toccata resounding through the hall.
That music, it's... Why, I can't believe it. This is this young upstart. And he plays like that? Oh, it can't be possible. Oh.
If the story is to be believed, when Marchand heard the young German lad playing in preparatory practice, he was so amazed at his genius that he feared for his own reputation. Silently, he stole away from Dresden without even attempting the contest.
You say our pioneer of the musical world was called the father of modern music?
Yes. He was.
Then he has another kind of paternity.
I'm sure I don't follow your logic.
No logic is needed.
Of course there is. Now, just what do you mean by another paternity? One other than that of being the father of modern music?
Why, he was the father of 20 children.
I see what you mean. But time is slipping by. And I must give you one more clue to the identity of our trailblazer, our pioneer of music. This should just about clinch it.
Now, Johnny, we must begin our piano lesson. Suppose you show me how well you can do and how much you've practiced this week.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, your fingering is all wrong. You're forgetting that you have two little fingers and two thumbs.
Yes, ma'am.
They should all be used when you play the piano. Remember, there was a time long, long ago when nobody used a little finger and thumb.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, Johnny, you tell me who this great musician was who started this practice of using the little finger and thumb.
Well, I think it was...
His system of fingering has come down to today, and is just what I've been teaching to you.
Well, ma'am, I just can't seem to...
Can't you think of his name?
Mm-mm.
Well, he was called the Master of Masters, Johnny. His name was Johann Sebastian Bach.
And there you have it. Now you know the name of our musical pioneer, our Master of Masters, a truly great man. Johann Sebastian Bach was to music what Shakespeare was to literature and drama. Just as it's the ambition of every actor to play Shakespeare, so it's the ambition of every organist to play Bach's great fugues. His works have become part of the language of music. But Bach was not just a great musician. He was a deeply pious man, believing simply and fervently that Christ was divine, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He knew and believed that men are saved by grace through faith in a crucified Savior. And there lies the secret of Bach's genius, the source of his musical power. Only one who gave God the right place in his life could have written so divine a message in music. His name was Bach, which means brook. Someone has said he should have been named Sav, ocean. Yes, as deep and profound as the ocean are the beautiful works of the Master of Masters, the pioneer of music, Johann Sebastian Bach. You've been listening to Miracles. In the cast were heard Sandra Knofziger, Dave Mack, and Bill Moose. Technical engineer was Dave Harrell. Sound is under the direction of Corbin Tabler. Musical cues provided by Jim Martin at the organ. Script is directed for radio by Laura Pratt. And this is your announcer, Dave Yurick, reminding you that God's power alone can take a life and bind it into a dynamic, moving force. For truly, great men are God's men. Miracles is a transcribed production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.